Thank you. Well, once again, a happy anniversary to you. As I said to the children, we are very grateful to God for what He has been doing in our midst over the last 4 years in many different ways. This first reading has something to say. Sorry, the second reading, the reading in Philippians, has something to say to us as a church as we look back and look forwards. But first, I wanted to mention to you that 4 years ago, we gathered together, a small group of us, in response to a call from Jesus Christ to serve and follow Him. In the same way that we saw in our first reading this morning. So our first reading was the story of Jesus calling His disciples to follow Him. And a bunch of us did that 4 years ago and even before then, and have attempted to serve Him in this place and to serve others in Richmond as well. Now, that's kind of like the Apostle Paul. That was his value as well. He valued service. If you look at chapter 1, verse 1 in the letter of Paul to the Philippians, that's page 1168, you'll see in verse 1 that Paul and Timothy were servants of Christ Jesus. Their goal was to serve Christ. Yesterday, we had a leaders, ministry leaders planning day here in this room. There were about a dozen of us gathered together looking at some of the values of St. John's Richmond, the things that drive us, the things that we're passionate about. And one of the values that was mentioned was service, and that we have, in greater or lesser degree, a desire to serve one another and to serve Christ. And that's a very good and noble desire. But that's not the only desire that the Apostle Paul had. There was more that he was interested in. The Apostle Paul also wanted to honor Christ. So I want to move fairly quickly and briefly through these verses that were read for us today in Philippians chapter 1. And if you notice here, in verse 20, Paul writes, "It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body." Christ will be honored. Even in prison, Paul is writing from prison, he expects, he is confident that Christ will be honored in his body. He has no doubt here. There's no doubt about this. What does he mean by that? Well, Paul's in prison. He will stand trial. The outcome is unsure. He may live or he may die, but his overriding concern isn't whether he lives or dies, but that he would not be put to shame and that Christ would be glorified. So if he's not, if Christ is not glorified, he'll be ashamed. He's not ashamed of being in prison. That's not the problem for Paul. He's not ashamed of personal humiliation. Woe is me. But he would be ashamed if Christ was not glorified or honored by his life. That's what he means by in his body, by all aspects of his life. So Paul is saying, I'm here by the will of God, and if I can't honor God in these circumstances, I will be ashamed. And I think that has something to say to us, that impulse of Paul. He wants to honor Christ regardless of his circumstances. And I think from time to time over the last 4 years, God has driven us to our knees asking for help, asking him for resources to serve him in this place. And Paul's desire is that we would glorify and honor Jesus in all circumstances. Now, What does it mean when Paul uses the word honor? I was quite delighted to find out that the word honor covers a Greek word that means magnify. It means magnify. It means to enlarge or esteem or to exalt. In other words, the way Paul deals with his afflictions and sufferings is to exalt Jesus Christ in the midst of them. That word for honor is the same word that Mary uses in her song, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And that's exactly what Paul wants to do in his imprisonment. His supreme ambition is that Christ would be exalted and magnified. So we see here this morning that on the one hand, Paul is a servant. He wants to serve Jesus. He understands himself as a servant of Jesus. On the other hand, he wants to glorify and exalt Jesus in his service, in his suffering. And those are things that speak to us and our motivations as a church in Richmond. But I think the center of this text is a tension that reveals something even more. And what I want to say this morning revolves around the tension that Paul had to either be with Christ in perfection through death or to serve Christ and exalt him in this life. His tension was whether to stay or go. And we read about this in verses 21 and following, if you can look at it with me. To me, he says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's even better. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So when verse 23, when Paul says, I'm hard-pressed between the two, that's literally a verb that means between a rock and a hard place. He really, really desires to be with Jesus in perfection. He would be happy if his life on this earth were ended and he got to be resident with Jesus in perfection. That's his desire. We see that in verse 23. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. And yet he chooses to stay as a servant of Christ. So the tension is, do I stay for your sake, or do I go to be with Christ in perfection? I want to go and be with Christ in perfection, but I will choose to stay and serve him. And I think the tension for us in St. John's Richmond is that it's a really good thing to serve Christ in this place, to serve Christ as we serve one another in love. That's a really good and noble thing. But it's not enough. I think the tension that Paul is experiencing reveals to us that there's a higher priority even than serving Christ, and that is to want to be with Christ, to desire him above all else. I was at a clergy meeting this week, and there were about a dozen clergy gathered together, and we got on to the topic of taking time away to be with Christ in solitude. And different people were talking about their strategies for what they would do on a day away, a quiet day to be with Jesus. And I raised the possibility that for some of us, it would be quite frightening on one level to figure out what that means to be with Christ in solitude. I think it's a difficult question, even for clergy to answer. What was it that Paul had here that many of us feel we don't have, which is that passionate desire to be with Christ, even to the point of dying out of this life and being with him in perfection. Something else happened this week. On Thursday night, when Jane Robinson gave some instruction on teaching, and one of the elements that she was talking about was actually about bringing children close to you, bringing them close, giving them that security of knowing that you as a parent or a teacher are for them, regardless of their behavior. You're for them. You love them. And that reminds me once again of Paul's desire to be with Christ and Christ's desire to have Paul with him. So what does it mean for us as a congregation as we look ahead to both serve Christ and to desire to be with Christ? Well, I have to say a couple of things. First of all, we already are with Christ. If we are a Christian, if you are a Christian, if you're a believer in Christ, you're with Christ. He's in you. His Spirit is with you. You experience Christ on a regular basis. But there are some things that hold us back from desiring to be with him in the way that Paul reveals it. The first thing that holds us back is being anchored in this world. Paul preferred nothing more than to die out of this world and to be with Christ. But living in a wealthy, functional part of the world that we do, it is possible to think that this is heaven. We prefer this world to Christ. The danger in living in a place of comfort is that there's a thousand ways that we get attracted to the things of this world, and so our desire for heaven, our desire to be with Christ, diminishes. That's the first thing that holds us back. The second thing that holds us back, ironically, is serving Christ, is doing things for Christ, being busy for Christ. And St. John's Richmond is a church, I think, that has done a marvelous, marvelous job of serving Christ over these last 4 years. But friends, we cannot lose sight of what is most important, and that is our desire to be with Christ. Don't let your service to Christ get in the way of that. Don't let busyness for Christ get in the way of being with Christ. It's a particular danger for clergy. It's a particular danger for those of you who are exercising ministries in this church and are very busy in many other aspects of life. Don't lose sight of what's most important. The third thing that can hold us back from wanting to be with Christ is suffering. Suffering in our day and age pulls us from God. People say, why has God made me suffer this way? And the tendency is to let the suffering preoccupy us and not to view suffering in the way that Paul did. How did Paul view suffering? It was fuel for his prayers. It was fuel for his hope for the day that he would be perfectly united with Christ. So I want to conclude this morning, it's just a very brief look at this text, by identifying that in St. John's Richmond, it is good and right to serve Christ. It is good and right to glorify Christ, to glorify him and exalt him in our lives, in everything we do. But the thing that we must not lose sight of is that desire to be with Christ. Paul said, to me, to live is Christ and to die gain. And if you went out on the street and you asked people what they thought of that statement, to live is Christ and to die is gain, what would they say? To live is what? To die is what? It's a complete reversal of the way our society works. It's a complete reversal. But in the church, we've got to remember in the years to come that our primary focus and desire ought to be with Christ. And let me conclude this morning by talking about how that desire might be fostered. How is it that we can foster a desire to be with Christ even as we serve Him? One of the things that we need to remember is that we are children. We are children. We are part of God's family. And so we work on the basis of relationship. We pray to Christ. We listen to His word. It strikes me in the Gospels that Jesus withdrew to pray very frequently. It strikes me that in the Gospels, when God spoke at the Transfiguration, He said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to Him." It strikes me that the church, when the early church met, that they gathered around the apostles' teaching. They listened to the words of God, and they prayed. And that was that two-way relationship. As children, saved by grace, that desire was inflamed. So for us today, brothers and sisters at St. John's Richmond, we are children of God. Christ is in us. We are in Him. And we look ahead to the perfect union that we will have with Christ. That's what Paul was doing. Through death into eternity. And brothers and sisters, I pray that that desire for Jesus would increase all the more in the years to come. Amen.